This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
NFL heating up. We are just 2 weeks away from the opener. Hard to believe, but awesome to think about. Chris Carlin in for Barton Hahn today on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Don't forget about your smart speaker. You can always say play ESPN Radio and it will come right on. Be a part of Barton Hahn Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line, ESPN Nation, presented by Dr. Pepper. It's 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. College football is back, and so are the fans. Return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. Don't forget Barton Hahn, as always, presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. We'll be joined by Mike Tannenbaum in just moments, and we will discuss all things NFL. And where we start this hour is with Mac Jones and the New England Patriots and Daniel Jones and the New York Giants. A battle of the Jones over the last couple of days in these joint practices in New England. Today's ended just a little while ago. And after yesterday, Mac Jones went 34 of 40 with one of those incompletions being a spike. That was an exceptionally good day for him and an exceptionally bad day for the Giants defense. But then today apparently came back to earth a little bit with perhaps an interception that he threw to Logan Ryan in a day that wasn't quite as sharp as it has been as it was yesterday, and maybe not as sharp as he had looked throughout training camp, but he's a rookie quarterback. So now we welcome in Mike Tannenbaum, our ESPN NFL front office insider, who joins us. Michael, thank you for popping on this hour with me. It's Chris Carlin. You're in for Barton Hahn. What's going on?
With you, what an exciting time of the year. You know, we're so close to September 9th and first game of the season, and lots of quarterback decisions have been made, tons more to go, and it's just a great time of year to be a sports fan and football fan in particular.
Mike, let's talk about the rookie aspect of this first before we get to the specifics. You drafted Mark Sanchez. What did you need to see to be convinced he was ready to start?
That he could breathe and walk. We really just said, hey, and if he could do one or the other, we were going to be okay with it. So, but basically, it was a situation where we had moved on from Brett Favre.
Right.
And we knew we had a good running game. We knew we had a good defense, Chris. And we were going to play good football, and we were going to live with Mark's sort of growing pains. And, look, candidly, we exceeded expectations as a rookie. You know, we got to the championship game with him. But it was really more of a mindset. Like, we knew what we wanted to do. We knew how we were building the team. And we felt like we could win with a rookie quarterback.
So, Mike, I'm looking at Mac Jones, and I'm honestly trying to figure out how, if you're Bill Belichick, you can balance this, because the thing, you can be in other circumstances where teams who are not ready to win, who can justify it earlier about, let's just go and give this guy a shot and let him go out there and make his mistakes. But you've got a veteran there in Cam Newton who can win you games. So, to me, I don't see Bill making this decision until he feels like Mac Jones is giving him the best chance to win immediately. Am I wrong about that?
Well, I think the lens is this is a team that's a lot better than they were a year ago, Chris. Defensively, they should be significantly better. Mac Judon, I think, is going to be a really good player for them. Dante Hightower coming back, I think not enough has been made of that. And a very, very good secondary. Offensive line, to me, despite losing Joe to the Chiefs, I think they're going to be better. And this is a loaded backfield, so much so that, you know, they were able to trade Sony Michel yesterday to the Rams. So I think what we're seeing is a really good team. And I think now Coach Belichick has to say to himself, can we win early with Mac Jones? Because clearly, when you draft a quarterback in the first round, you're hoping for the next 10 years he's your quarterback. So clearly what you would like to do is get him on the field when it's reasonably, as soon as it's reasonably possible. I actually brought this up, Chris, which is, given that as sort of the context of our discussion, why not play them both? And let's just put our shoes let's put ourselves in Brian Flores' shoes. Brian Flores is the head coach slash defensive coordinator of the Miami Dolphins. That's the opening day opponent for the Patriots. And if you come out in the next 3 to 4 days and say, you know what, both quarterbacks are going to play early, I think that puts a lot of pressure on the opposing defensive coordinator, because now you got to get ready for two different types of offenses.
Interesting thought. I mean, for me, Cam is somebody, Mike, that I've used the word shot, but I don't mean it like he's got absolutely nothing left. I mean it like somebody that he is at a juncture in his career where he can go and play well for 4 or 5 weeks early in the season, but there's not enough left in the tank to play at that high level all season long. Am I being unfair to Cam Newton?
Well, I was wrong a year ago because I thought he was going to come in and play really well, because I just felt like the direct runs, the ability to get the ball down the field, I think all those things were things that really played well to what like Cam Newton can do well. I think candidly, we're seeing a little bit with Tua. I think Tua physically looks better a year further away from his hip surgery. And I think in fairness to Cam, I think he's going to look better a year off of his shoulder surgery. So I thought he flashed at times last year. At other times, candidly, he was really disappointing. And I'm a big Cam Newton fan. I thought he's always, the teams I've been on, he's been very, very hard to defend. So I think we'll see. And this is where I think the COVID ineligibility is really hurting him, because I thought we were seeing a better Cam. And if he doesn't play in this last and third preseason game, it may put him behind Mac Jones.
All right, Mike, give us a second. We're going to try to get you reconnected, and we'll bring you back in just a minute. Mike's going to be with us for the entire hour as we fill in for Barton Hahn here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. And boy, with Cam Newton, this COVID situation, however this played out, the wrong test, however it cost him 5 or 6 days, seemingly because he is not vaccinated and has put himself in a situation where he had to be kind of separated for 4 or 5 days, that does not help his cause here. It's so hard to see a scenario where Bill Belichick looks at it and says, the rookie right now gives me a better chance to win than Cam Newton does, at least this week, because that's how it's going to be evaluated. This week, it's about whether or not, after spending all the money that the Patriots did in the offseason, they feel like Cam can actually help them win. And if they don't feel that way, Cam's got major decisions to ask himself about his career. He really does. And I think at just 32 years old, with the abuse that his body has taken, it's going to be very hard to try and tell somebody like Cam Newton that he can still play football. And that's a discussion that he has to have with himself. And I'm sitting there prior to this COVID thing thinking, Cam is not honestly believing that he is not the same player that he was 5 or 6 years ago. He goes out and carries himself, not in a bad way, but in a good way, like he is still the MVP. Bart and I discussed this yesterday. Having that mentality of trying to adjust mentally to what you are physically now, that you can't do certain things, or that you're best served by not trying to do certain things. Cam has never gotten any benefit of the doubt with the penalty flags, with the shots that he has taken over the years. None. And that has been a point of contention throughout his entire career. And as a result, he has taken so many hits that he can't possibly be that same player. He's still athletic. He can still run. But can he hold up? The answer is no. The answer is no. He can't hold up. So it may not be week one. It may not be week two. It is likely, and I would say maybe 100% by week 8, that there's no doubt that Mac Jones will be starting, and it feels a lot more likely that that number is going to be around week five or week six. And then there's Daniel Jones. You know, in these joint practices, he has gone up to New England. He hasn't had Kenny Galladay. He hasn't had Kadarius Toney. Saquon Barkley is just now getting involved in 11-on-11 situations for the first time today, quite literally. Hasn't taken any hits yet. Does not know how he's going to respond. So when that's the case, expecting Daniel Jones to elevate others around him is a tall order. We bring Mike T back in with us right now. And Mike, you know, Jones to me is so fascinating. We talked about this with Field Yates last hour. The idea that he is perhaps in the single most pressure-filled situation as a quarterback, a make-or-break type year as a quarterback, because the Giants, if he plays well, are absolutely capable of winning the division. And if he doesn't, could absolutely be 5-12. I believe
it's all about the turnovers.
Yep.
Yep.
There he is.
Can you hear? Craig, can you hear?
Yes.
Yep. It's all about the turnovers with Daniel Jones. And, you know, last year, 11 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. He's led the league in fumbles. And that just can't be something that's sustainable. And we've all had growing pains with young quarterbacks. And for as much criticism as Dave Gettleman has gotten, I think he deserves a ton of credit. He had an unbelievable offseason. Chris, when you think about Kadarius Toney, John Ross, Kenny Galladay, Kyle Rudolph, the investment in the offensive line over 2+ years. So there's really no more excuses for Daniel Jones. I think he should have played more this preseason. I disagree with Coach Judge because I think every rep's a meaningful rep. And I think context sometimes is important. You know, when you look at Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers knows what he's doing. He's been with Matt LaFleur. It's a skill group that's been around each other. In the Giants' case, they need as many repetitions as possible because they just haven't been together. You know, Tony's a rookie. Ross is a free agent. Galladay's a free agent. They got to be able to get as many reps as possible. So, candidly, I've been a little surprised that he hasn't played in the preseason.
Mike, I agree. And I know that they're going to treat this week like it's the dress rehearsal and he's going to play a half, and that's fine. But listen to Chris Canty from DCR on 98.7 in New York yesterday. And this clip about the fact that, or this morning, I should say, the fact that Daniel Jones was outplayed by Mac Jones yesterday and what that means.
Not at all. And the headline is not what you're looking for if you're a Giants fan, given how important this year is going to be for Daniel Jones, right? Mac Jones outperforms Daniel Jones. Like, that's not what you want to see. I hear the fact that you have so many skill position players that are out for Daniel Jones, but, I mean, at some point, we gotta get past that. Like, Daniel Jones has to be able to elevate the talent that's around him, even if things aren't ideal, even if you're dealing with injuries, even if you're dealing with segments of the offense that are underperforming. Like, the sixth overall pick from 3 years ago has to overcome some of that stuff. And I guess we're all waiting for Daniel Jones to graduate into that quarterback that's capable of being able to do that on a consistent basis.
I mean, Mike, you know, with what Chris said there, I honestly have trouble believing that Daniel Jones is not going to be the entirety of the Giants season this year in so many ways, because they look good defensively. And we all know health always comes into it, but he took a step backwards last year, even though he was banged up.
Yeah, and I do think they're going to be better on defense. This is a team that I thought improved as the year went on last year. I love Ojulari from Georgia. I thought he was a really good space athlete, Chris, just in terms of I think he's going to be able to move forward as well as back into coverage. And I think when you have somebody that has that sort of versatility, that puts a lot of pressure on an opposing defense. Obviously, they hit big on Leonard Williams. Like, to me, he played the way the Jets thought he would have, being, you know, a top six pick. So this is a defense that should continue getting better. You know, at corner, what's interesting to me is, look, there's a lot that's been made of, like, what they've done, how much they spent, but they are clearly better with Adoree Jackson. He is a really good athlete. We could quibble about durability and cost. That's fair, but he has the ability to play man-to-man. So I think this is a good defense. I think, obviously, Barkley, if healthy, obviously, Chris, he's a difference maker. So it does come back to Daniel Jones. And I agree with what Chris Kane said, like Mac Jones is looking good. And I think part of that has to do with like the programs they came from. Like Mac Jones was getting pro coaching the whole way through at Alabama with Nick Saban. And if I'm the Giants, like you can't make too much of one practice, but I do agree with Chris. It's obviously concerning.
Chris Carlin, Mike Tannenbaum, and for Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance. And all guests join us via the Goodyear Hotline. That's where Mike is right now. Mike, let's go to Jacksonville. You've been on this, and I give you a lot of credit early on this notion that playing Trevor Lawrence right away may not be the best thing to do. First of all, let's hear from Urban Meyer on the decision to name Trevor Lawrence the starter yesterday as he did.
We wanted him to earn it, as we do with every position. We felt he has after the last night's performance was it was good, obviously not great, but we didn't run the ball very well. But I kind of in my mind had that as after the second preseason that we kind of have to get someone ready to play in 3 weeks.
Mike, I'm with you on the notion that this offensive line is a real problem. I think they had to do this, but boy, I would really be monitoring this early in the year. 3 weeks in, if he's getting his clock cleaned, I may want to take him out and just use the old excuse of, we're going to give him a chance to let it slow down a little bit and let him really watch from the sideline. But in actuality, I need to keep him physically healthy.
You know, it's interesting. I think Urban Meyer is going to be successful. I'm a big fan of his. He won at Bowling Green. He won at Utah. Obviously, he won big at Florida and Ohio State. So he's obviously a very, very good coach. With that said, I think there's a time and place to teach lessons. And I don't know what we're doing here. Like, you could talk about everyone has to earn it, but like the day that Trevor Lawrence declared his eligibility, he earned the right to start. He's that good. Like, there's a time and place, and that's not the time or the place. So for me, I'm much more concerned if I'm Jacksonville about why do we franchise Cam Robinson? He's really not good enough. And we took Walker Little in the second round, an offensive lineman from Stanford, who couldn't set a very firm pocket. And here's why that's a huge concern. Other teams are going to see that. And if you can't slow down a bull rush and you can't keep that pocket firm, you can have Johnny Unitas back there, John Elway. It doesn't matter. It's really hard to throw when someone's in your face. And we saw that with Trevor Lawrence the other night. He looked uncomfortable. There's a reason for it. That line couldn't protect. And what I don't understand, Chris, is this. If you and I were running the Jaguars, we hope that Trevor Lawrence is a 10-year decision, not a 10-minute decision. And it really doesn't matter if they win 3 games this year or 6 games or 7. They're not going to go to the Super Bowl this year. They're not contending this year. They got to come out of this year knowing that they have a developmental upside in Lawrence, a healthy Lawrence. And my point cannot be made any clearer than look at Cincinnati. Joe Burrow played too much last year, too fast. They had Andy Dalton. They traded him away. He got hurt, which I take no pride in saying I predicted, as well as many others, based on how many times he threw the ball behind that line. And now Joe Burrow is still not 100%. So to me, if I'm Jacksonville, I don't care about the next month. I don't care about the next 2 months. Like, let Gardner Minshew play. And by the way, Urban Meyer would never admit this, Chris, but there's a learning curve for him. Let the game slow down for him. Let him get his rhythm going. And then you could bring in Trevor Lawrence after week 4, after week 6. Why would you put him in harm's way from day 1? It doesn't matter how many games you win this year.
Mike, I absolutely see it and understand where it's coming from. And I don't disagree. And a lot of people off the other night, now granted, it was a preseason game. I think they're making too much of it. But there is a learning curve like you're talking about. And people felt like the other night that maybe he was a little bit overwhelmed as the head coach in that spot. But he's too good of a coach for
Chris,
that. Yeah.
Right. And Chris, one other point to make is, like, I would have had a cardiac arrest if I was there and I'm watching Trevor Lawrence run down the field in a preseason game and take the hits that he's done. Like, that can't happen. Like, you can't put your franchise quarterback in harm's way and not protect yourself in a meaningless preseason game. And there's a reason Aaron Rodgers isn't playing and countless others. Like, that's foolish. Like, you're trying to get ready for a 17-game marathon. Like, that was, to me, like, that was unacceptable. Like, don't run between the numbers. If you're going to run at all, run outside the numbers where you get out of bounds, slide, throw it away. But you are absolutely 100% not allowed to run the ball between the numbers and take a hit in a preseason game. That, to me, was completely unacceptable, and it could have set them back if he had gotten hurt.
He's Mike Tannenbaum, our ESPN NFL front office insider. I'm Chris Carlin. We're in for Barton Hahn this afternoon at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. In moments, Mike will tell us what he's looking at closely as preseason wraps up this weekend. The stories that you need to know. Mike T fills us in just moments. It's Chris Carlin, Mike Tannenbaum, in for Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Hahn.
Family is everything, and I've got peace of mind knowing my family is taken care of with life insurance. I recommend SelectQuote. SelectQuote has been helping families for over 35 years, plus quotes are free. Go to SelectQuote.com. That's SelectQuote.com. Chris Carlin, Mike Tannenbaum. We are in today for Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us via the Goodyear hotline, and Mike's going to be with us in just a sec. Mike, are you with us? Okay. We're just having a slight technical issue with Mike's audio, so we'll get to his top storylines in just a second. What is particularly interesting right now with one trade that happened already this week? We're going to see a few more potentially in the next few days, but Sony Michel getting traded from the Patriots to the LA Rams. And I'll tell you, this is intriguing on a few different levels. Number one, we have seen where after the Rams lost Cam Akers, that they needed to be able to replace him, and they thought they had Darrell Henderson. As Mike's with us, and we'll welcome him back in. Mike, this Sony Michel trade really interested me from the standpoint that we all, at least those of us from the outside, thought that maybe Darrell Henderson was a bit of a foregone conclusion for that trade to really, or for that spot to really take over for Cam Akers. Yet maybe that's not the case after all.
Yeah, I think when you look at the situation, Sony Michel, if healthy, could go in there and be a frontline number one running back. You know, ironically, coming out of Georgia, him and Nick Chubb were 1-1A. Durability issues, candidly, were probably a little bit more about Nick Chubb, and obviously we've seen how things have played out. And ironically, Sony Michel is replacing, you know, if you go back a couple of years, Todd Gurley, a very productive but injury-prone University of Georgia running back as well. But he's a good player, and on the break, Chris, you made a good point about he had not really been featured in the passing game, and then we see him catch four passes in a preseason game, and I don't think those things are by accident in terms of you're trying to feature a player's strengths, and I'm sure Coach Belichick was thinking to himself that, hey, looks like we hit on Ramondre Stevenson, Damian Harris. We got a really good running back room. If we're going to move Sony Michel, we could feature him, show some other skills that he has, and I think from a Rams standpoint, you're saying, here's a veteran guy, he can pass protect, and Henderson may be good, but we know we're going to need at least two backs. And something we got to almost recalibrate ourselves, Chris, is it's a 17-game marathon, and you're going to need a lot of depth there. Here, to me, was another really interesting part of the trade, and I've been there, and this is really, really difficult, which is you're Leslie, you're the GM of the Rams, you're Sean McVay, you're looking at that Patriot depth chart, and you're saying, like, you know what, I think it's reasonable that one of those running backs is going to get cut and we could go get him and not give up a pick. But you're sitting there, it's like August 25th, opening day is still 2.5 weeks away. We may not get him because what happens if a Patriot running back gets hurt or another team comes in? So I think they gave up the draft choice currency, Chris, for the certainty.
Yeah, and listen, they needed it. They needed it not just from, as you pointed out, a depth perspective, but that's a guy that could walk in the door and really make a difference for them. So, all right, Mike, now the other place of excess for New England is the quarterback room. They've got four quarterbacks on this roster right now. What are we looking at here in terms of a potential trade if it's not just a straight-out cut?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, could someone like Brian Hoyer be the odd man out where Jarrett Stidham's been hurt, but, you know, he still has intriguing upside. You kind of know what you have in Hoyer. And when you look around the league now, you say to yourself, wow, like, could the Patriots potentially trade Brian Hoyer? You know, one team to me that's kind of interesting, well, there's a couple. One is the Jets, which I don't think they'd ever make a trade within the division. But also, like, you think about, like, a team like New Orleans. Like, if you're going to move Taysom Hill to all these other spots, you have Jameis Winston, you could bring someone like Brian Hoyer there. You think about a team like we just saw what happened in Atlanta where A.J. McCarron gets hurt, for example. I don't think Josh Rosen's going to be good enough. So I think there's a number of teams that could be looking for a veteran quarterback. So heading into this last weekend, that's a position I would keep an eye on.
You know, one guy, Mike, and Mike Tannenbaum, our ESPN NFL front office insider, joining us right now as we fill in for Barton Hahn today. One guy that's really has been talked about a lot, and yet there hasn't really been anything that's happened in terms of a trade, is Zach Ertz with the Philadelphia Eagles. Is this something that's going to come down to the wire for Howie Roseman on making a deal?
Yeah, because that's another situation where I totally agree. I think that's an interesting one where Dallas Goedert is now clearly a number one. He's a guy that's going to be looking for a big contract. And if I'm Howie Roseman and the Eagles, could I possibly get a third or a fourth round pick for Zach Ertz? And we just talked about it, but like an interesting team to me is New Orleans, where they have featured tight ends year after year. Michael Thomas is going to be out for a while, assuming it's Jameis Winston, Chris. Boy, wouldn't Zach Ertz be a great security blanket for somebody like Jameis Winston?
You know, Mike, the other team I thought about with Zach Ertz was the Jets, the obvious Joe Douglas connection, and he'd be an awfully good guy to have around a younger quarterback.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense as well. I could see, you know, trying to trade him outside the conference. Chris Herndon has been obviously not as productive as they thought when they drafted him out of Miami. Someone who I thought was going to be a really good player. That would make a ton of sense as well. If I'm the Jets, though, job number 1, 2, and 3, despite all the other injuries, I would go get a veteran quarterback. You know, look, Zach Wilson, there's reasons to be encouraged, but there's too much wisdom that you could avail yourself with from the Josh McCowns of the world, the Alex Smiths of the world, where we had it with Mark Sanchez, with a guy like Mark Brunell, who now is the quarterback coach of the Detroit Lions, where there's so many ways they could help. And I know this sounds incredibly simple to our listeners, but you know, how do you take notes? What day of the week do you go out? How do you hydrate? How do you stretch? Like, all the things about being a great pro quarterback, you're almost like your own little corporation, you know, dealing with the media, dealing with ticket requests. Like, he's going from Provo, Utah, where he's a student athlete and he's just worrying about his own little world, to now being the starting quarterback in New York. I remember talking to people like Chad Pennington and Mark Sanchez and Brett Favre, on and on and on. Like, it's its own world, and he needs somebody that can help him slow his day down. And I just think the Jets are missing an opportunity by not having a veteran voice that could really just be his partner and help him get to where he could go, because right now his future looks really, really promising.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Save when you bundle auto, home, or motorcycle insurance. Visit Progressive.com. Along those lines, the assumption there has always been Nick Foles in Chicago. And whether or not he would be somebody that the Jets maybe are just waiting to get cut, or they would do what you were talking about earlier, go and sacrifice the draft pick for the certainty of the situation. What's your read there, Mike?
Yeah, totally fair, Chris. Totally agree with your point, which is, And this is really what's hard about being a GM this time of year. On paper, you're like, oh, they'll just cut Foles and we'll sign him. Yeah, that could happen. But what happens if Team X swoops in and says, you know what, I'll give a six-round pick for Nick Foles? Again, like, could a team like Atlanta do that from a standpoint of not having A.J. McCarron or going to, like, Houston, for example? We don't know what's going to happen with Deshaun Watson. If he's not eligible on opening day and they go with Tyrod Taylor, do they want to bring in a veteran like a Nick Foles? So if I'm Joe Douglas of the Jets, I'm certainly thinking that it's plausible that Foles will be cut, but it's certainly not. There's a lot of variables that could happen as well.
All right, Mike, what's going on to Houston? Your read with Houston right now, because that is a bizarre situation that is unfolding.
It may be one of the most unique situations we've seen in recent times, because when you're sitting in that chair, things happen. Unfortunately for me, we're in the Dolphins. Ryan Tannehill gets hurt in a preseason game. It changes our whole year. We have to go out and sign Jay Cutler. Injuries are going to happen. Ineligibility, you know, player suspensions, those are going to happen. Situation like this to me is really almost unique. Or like, for example, Aaron Rodgers. Like, that was a binary sort of result. He was either going to be there or he was going to be traded and they were going to go with Jordan Love. This is a situation, Chris, where there's so many layers to it. He doesn't want to be there. By watching them, you can almost assume they don't want him there for whatever reason. And now his eligibility with the league layered upon some potential, you know, legal situations, both civilly and criminally. There's about four or five layers here. And again, a criminal situation is paramount. There's, you know, alleged victims that obviously are going to have their day in court, and that has to go through a very long process. And then you have the commissioner of the NFL who at any time could put a player on an exempt list. And I think it bears repeating that if we go back to 2010, Chris, Ben Roethlisberger was suspended for six games for violation of the personal conduct policy, even though there was no criminal charges. So yeah, there's a lot here, and it's going to be interesting to see how it unfolds.
All right, we've got more to do with Mike Tannenbaum. He will stay with us for the next segment as we get into the five off-season moves that will pay the immediate dividends for teams this year. Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio is brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. Chris Carlin, Mike Tannenbaum, in for the boys on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Bart and Hahn
on ESPN Radio and on ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear on the Goodyear Hotline. Chris Carlin, NFL front office insider Mike Tannenbaum, in for the fellas this afternoon. We've gone through some of the potential moves that could happen coming up, but let's talk about the ones that have happened and the ones that are going to have the most impact here, Mike, from the offseason. Let's try to go through the five biggest offseason moves that will, or the five offseason moves that will have the most impact on teams this season. Where do you want to start?
I'd say, for me, the first one would be Maurkice Pouncey, because the longtime center of the Pittsburgh Steelers retired, and I just remember when we traded for Brett Favre when I was at the Jets, and Brett's like, you got to do one thing for me. I'm like, Brett, we'll rename the George Washington Bridge after you. We just traded for Brett Favre, whatever you want. And he's like, make sure that pass protection is rock solid. If I know when I'm hot, when I have to get rid of the ball, check down, I need to be able to trust the protections. And if I'm Ben Roethlisberger, that's going to keep me up at night. You have a rookie running back in Najee Harris, who should be a great player, but you have a brand new center, and that's the quarterback of the offensive line. If your protections aren't rock solid with an aging, athletically diminished quarterback at 39 years old in Ben Roethlisberger, that can make for a bad recipe. I know he's looked good so far, but to me, it's all going to be about their pass protection.
All right, you know what? I'm with you on this one, and it's not even just that. It's also that they moved on from DeCastro. They've had a lot of changes on the line, and they're starting a rookie right in the middle there, not a center, but in Kendrick Green as well. And Ben's not what he was. I know people are expecting him to have a good year and maybe go somewhere else next year. I just don't see it, Mike. I don't see where that's going to happen.
Yeah, that would be a big concern. I think Joe Burrow, Baker Mayfield, Lamar Jackson are young and getting better, and Pittsburgh's quarterback's getting older. It's been a long time since we talked about Pittsburgh that way, but I think Pittsburgh's going to be on the wrong end of the stick of a lot of games this year in the AFC North.
All right, Jameis Winston, what impact does he make?
I think significant. 70 starts, 27 years old, that's hard to find. If they could clean up some of these interceptions, he could get the ball down the field. We saw those two long passes the other night to Callaway, and he can stretch the field, and that's what keeps defenses up. If he could just cut those, even by a third, those interceptions down to 20, that's going to be a really good match in New Orleans. I think they're going to surprise a bunch of teams this year.
All right, we talked about Urban Meyer earlier, Mike. I mean, what should we make of him as an NFL head coach?
Coaching matters. I was so fortunate in my career to be around the great Bill Parcells, Bill Belichick. Bill Parcells is in Canton. Probably in part, he's the only coach in the history of our game to take four different teams to the playoffs. Urban Meyer was successful again at Bowling Green, Utah, Florida, and obviously Ohio State. So he's a very successful coach. I think there's going to be a learning curve, but that could be a huge impact to this Jaguar franchise for the next 5 to 10 years.
A coordinator that could have a huge impact. The Cowboys needed defensive help. Will Dan Quinn be that guy that will restore that defense?
I think history is going to strike twice. Little known fact, but when Dan Quinn became the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, he replaced, in part, a defensive coordinator named Mike Nolan. They went on to the Super Bowl and were very close to winning a championship in Atlanta. Fast forward to 2021, Dan Quinn is replacing Mike Nolan again, and I think Dan is a guy that I know very well, have a ton of respect for, and I think he's going to have a massive impact. And that defense doesn't have to be elite. That defense has to improve, get better. I think they will. You pair it with a high-powered offense, assuming Dak's healthy, and I think you have a division winner in the Dallas Cowboys.
I got 20 seconds. One more offseason move with an impact that we're not looking at.
Yeah, well, the low-hanging fruit certainly would be, you know, Trevor Lawrence. But let's go with Matt Stafford, and he's replacing a quarterback that they gave up two first-round picks to go get Matt Stafford, and the person he's replacing took him to the Super Bowl in Jared Goff, and I think there's a massive amount of pressure on Matt Stafford to be great from day one this year.
Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. Mike, we appreciate you popping in for the hour, man. Thanks.
Boy, that was a fast hour, a lot of fun. Thanks so much for having me.
Appreciate it. Mike Tannenbaum with us. The boys, well, we're in for them today, and Bart and I will be back tomorrow on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.